full of too many football podcasts, comes another football podcast. One man's quest to find the answers.
Okay, boys, let's go to work.
Now, live from Pine Grove Studio B, it's Let Me Be Frank with T. Frank.
Boring, depressing, boring, confusing. Oh, my vehicle registration. Thank you for sending me this in the mail now. You know what? I hate getting mail because it's all boring. It's all frustrating. It's all confusing. When you're an adult, you just get boring mail. So I hate it. And that's why I asked you to give me good mail, to give me mail I actually want to read. So that's what we're doing today on Let Me Be Frank. We're doing a mailbag episode, and we're diving into the questions you want to know about Penn State football. So we'll get right into it. Zach is our first question. He says, can you go back and scout some of the other 22 commits as well? We did an episode on Malik McNeil earlier this spring. He committed to Penn State. So Zach wants to know a little more about the rest of the class. And I've done a lot of work on all of the, or most of, the recruits for the class of 2022, bwi.rivals.com for the full profiles. I'll give you a couple here. The first one I want to talk to you about is Ken Talley, because I've been doing a little bit on Ken Talley. And the thing I like about Ken Talley is everything. Everything. He's one of those guys that I'm going to be unusually high on. Now, I know Denai Dennis Sutton is possibly the crown jewel of the class of 2022 at the defensive end position. Penn State is in a strong position with him, according to Rivals Ryan Snyder. But to me, the guy I really like, and because I've done more work on him, Talley is a really good run defender as an undersized defensive end. So to me, that tells me he's unnaturally strong for his size, and he plays with good football technique and intensity. That sort of play through contact that is above strength. It's not just about how big and strong you are. It's about how well you play the game of football. Contact is not a problem for him. So as a defensive end, I don't know what else you want from that. Like that's the basis of it, is being able to attack and shed blocks. And from a physical perspective, from an athleticism perspective, you know how I harp on athleticism being in every direction, not just being fast, not just being big, but being able to move that in every direction. And that's what Talley does. He's athletic to the point that Penn State wanted to give him the Micah Parsons experience and move him to linebacker so he can chase balls down from the backside and be a force in the run game as an oversized linebacker that has pass rushing skills. You can see he has that skill set. Now, Talley said he wants to play defensive end, so he'll likely play for the Nittany Lions there. I don't know what's going to be his inhibitor, because I always look at prospects of, okay, so what defines their ceiling? And maybe for him it's his size, but like I talked about, he plays well through contact. He's strong. So this is a guy who's going to be able to play above his weight, and at that point, his movement skills, his speed, his use of hands, his efficiency, I love all of these things about Ken Talley. So as long as he continues to progress, put in the work, is lucky from the injury perspective, he's got all the skills you want. He can be as good, if not better, than all the guys that have been drafted in the first and second round for Penn State. As far as his overall ceiling is right up there with Jason Owe and Yetur Gross-Matos, Shaka Toney. He could be the next great defensive end at Penn State, as from a production standpoint and from a draft standpoint. And it's very early, and it's very, very, get carried away with this stuff. But his ceiling, I don't know where it is. And when I can't pinpoint where it is, I start to get excited. The next guy that I think has a pretty high ceiling, Anthony Ivey, Manheim Township. He's a four-star receiver. Now, there are some things on tape that I'm not a fan of, but I do love his positional skills. So this is a guy who clearly has been studying NFL receivers on tape. He does some stuff that is, like, it's really good. It's just, you know, his ability to sell routes, his ability to cut and to restart. You can see he can stop and go. He's got great vertical speed. A guy with a ton of tools in his tool bag as far as he creates separation in the short area. He can play in the slot, and he can play outside, and he's got long arms. Another guy with just a really high ceiling, and a guy that Penn State is, you know, fortunate that this guy is in their backyard in Pennsylvania. The vertical speed and his ability to change directions make him a real threat as a receiver. Now, when you pair him with Caden Saunders in the same class, they have some quarterbacks coming in. You start to get pretty excited about what Penn State's passing attack could look like from an explosive downfield perspective. The one question I have about him, there's some drops on tape. Now, it's one season. It could be an anomaly, but I see a little inconsistency with his hands and his ability to make plays on the ball consistently. Some alligator arms over the middle. I'm not quite sure the concentration is always there. More of a guy looking for highlights at times rather than securing the pass and going from there. So a little bit of good, a little bit of bad from him. But overall, another guy with a huge ceiling coming in the class of 2022. So those are two guys to look out for that are committed for Penn State that I think are pretty talented. We're going to go on to Clifford. Clifford Smith asks, besides Kalen King, what other true freshman do you see having a chance to play more than four games in 2021? So there's a couple. Well, really, there's not a ton. One that's on campus and one that is has been there for spring ball that was a high recruit, and I think there's a quiet opportunity there at guard, is Landon Tangwall. Landon Tangwall came into school as a man-child. He was a fully developed 315-pound, brutally effective run blocker. He's got great technique. He can pull. He can move. I love how mobile he is. This is a guy with the offseason of being at Penn State, being here for spring football. I do think there's an opportunity if he can continue to progress and he has these mature skills coming into college, he might be able in the fall to fight for a position at left guard. That being said, there is a lot of depth on the offensive line. And the only thing he isn't to me is he's not a tackle, because I think while he moves well, and he's got great feet, he's a little slow, and he's a little stiff. And I think very clearly he's going to be a guard for Penn State. And he is going to be a really, really good one. I mean, you can see his physical size. That was his junior year. I'm excited to see what he can do at the college level. I think he's going to be a phenomenal football player. If he doesn't get more than four games, he's going to be in the mix to be a starter in 2023. For sure. In 2022. The next one I want to highlight is Liam Clifford, brother of Sean Clifford. I think, again, another guy, and the guys that I'm highlighting here have more advanced skills for their position early in their career. And I think Clifford, independent of the fact that his brother's the quarterback, is a really good receiver. He's got really good positional skills. Another guy like Anthony Ivey, different body type, but I think he runs good routes. He creates separation with that. And then from there, it's just about refining that and making sure he knows the playbook, which, again, his brother's the quarterback, so he might have a little bit of early access into the playbook, you might think. So he has a chance to come in the fall and push for some playing time, even if he's not a starter. You know, there's an open spot at receiver beyond Parker Washington and Jahan Dotson, whether it's Keandre Lambert-Smith, Daniel George, or Cam Sullivan Brown's fifth year of breaking out. One of those guys is going to see playing time. And Liam Clifford, while he has the size and the route running abilities, the question will be if he's fast enough and explosive enough to create that separation at the college level, or if that's going to take some time and physical development for him before he's ready to go. From what I saw on tape, I'm encouraged by that. I think if one of those three receivers that are coming in this summer and in the fall have a chance to do that, it's going to be Clifford, because we don't know what Lonnie White Jr.'s future is. And Harrison Wallace, to me, he was a guy who was really raw, guy who, that for the most part, just ran deep routes in his offense, what he was asked to do. So I would put my money there on Clifford because of the opportunity and because of the skill set. So then we're going to go to our last question. Another one on recruiting. We've talked about Bo Prabula. He wants to know if we can do a profile on Drew Aller. And again, you can get a full breakdown of Aller over at bwi.rivals.com. And the one thing I've said about Drew Aller is that I think he is a much cleaner process of evaluation than Bo Prabula. And by the way, thank you for not asking me to compare them. And that's the last time I'm going to do that in this particular talk, because it's just cut and dried to me. When I look at Drew Aller, I know, again, what his fatal flaw could be. And to me, with all of the talent, all of the mental ability of the processing and things that he has to do, the one thing is he is a pocket passer. He's a classic NFL-style quarterback, and that's good, but it defines what you can and can't do based on those things. And it's, for him, it's pocket presence and not being rattled by the rush. I see too much of this on his tape. This is what gets me uncomfortable. I understand he's got the NFL size and the build, and everyone's super excited about his potential. But when it comes to what quarterbacks that operate from the pocket, even if it's a mobile pocket like this, you see a quarterback that's jittery in the pocket, I get nervous. I need a guy who is confident and calm and uses his feet to win, his mind to win. I think that there's a lot of inaccuracy on tape when he is faced with pressure. Now, again, in high school, he threw the ball 50 times a game as a junior. So this is a guy who's shouldering a lot in that offense and was, you know, from what I saw on tape, every defense just blitzed five or six people and his offense didn't pick it up. So he was always throwing under pressure. So he can either fix that and become more consistently accurate and get the ball up quicker and all of those things, or that the accuracy and the decision-making under pressure are going to continue to be a problem as he progresses. Now, he'll be put in less of those situations in the future. So we'll see what happens his senior year and then when he gets to Penn State. But that's the one flaw, the fatal flaw that I don't think anyone's really discussing when it comes to Drew Aller, is if he gets rattled consistently, and that's a problem that continues, all the arm strength, all the talent in the world, all those things are mitigated by that. And that's something that if we find it out earlier, it's, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing to know, but then you know what you have to work around, because on the high end, I think everyone's aware of what he can do with the football in his hands. The NFL level strength, and it's not just the arm strength, it's the ability to put the ball in different spots accurately. And I know we just talked about his accuracy not being great at times, but when it is, they are wow plays. As you can see, he puts the ball where he wants to, layering it over defenders, putting it on the spot, down the field. He's got accuracy over the middle. I think his processing is really good. And you can see it's not all the time when he's under pressure that he makes bad throws. So like the high end, and you can see the pathway to success for Drew Aller. I mean, it's obvious that his ceiling is super high. There's one last thing that I want to talk about with Drew Aller before we go that isn't part of his scouting report. It's just another one of those things when it comes to comparison. Everyone wants to compare a player to another player, and I know I already did this with Von Miller and Ken Talley, so I'm guilty of it too. But if there's one comparison that I don't really like for Drew Aller, it would be to Josh Allen, which I'm hearing all the time. And here's why. Here's why. Josh Allen is an unpredictable, volatile, mobile quarterback who has learned to play in the pocket. Already as a junior, Drew Aller is a pocket quarterback. He's more Matt Ryan than Josh Allen. He's a guy that, again, we can define his strengths and weaknesses pretty clearly because of the way he plays the game. Josh Allen is an unpredictable moose back. Now, again, last year he learned how to do those things, his third year in the NFL. It is so vastly different from what Drew Aller does that I can't compare. I can't see any reasonable comparison other than they are big, they have strong arms, they're 6'5", and other things. Like, that's it. other than that, their style of play is completely different.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
I mean, I got to get to this at some point, right? Like, can't not look at your mail. Thanks for all the questions. We're going to be definitely doing a mailbag episode again in the future. So if you want to drop your questions for the mailbag here in the chat, you can do that on whatever platform you're listening to, Apple Podcasts, or if you want to do it on YouTube, we'll get your questions for the next mailbag. We'll start rounding those up, and I'll start in on the studying for that. So another thing I want to talk about before we go, we have an exciting announcement for the Thursday podcast. We're going to have our first guest on Let Me Be Frank, and I love working with this guy. I think he's super smart. I love what they do at PFF, and we're going to have director of content and the host of the 2-for-1 Drafts podcast, Austin Gale, to come on the show and talk to us about Penn State football players in the recent NFL draft. The guys coming up that they're going to be looking at for the NFL draft at Penn State in 2022, and a couple of things maybe from the guys that were drafted in 2020. So all of that with Austin Gale. And if you want to follow him, it's PFF at PFF underscore Austin Gale on Twitter. He'll be on the show on Thursday.